Welcome back, everyone, for this week's Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. This is Smoky Mountain Wrestling, episode number 36 from October the 3rd of 1992. We're back, and I'll use Mike Greenberg's line from ESPN, better than ever. And it is myself, Mike Mills, along with Doc Turner, Hardbody Harper. Harper, how you doing this week, man?
Doing all right, man. Sitting here, talking about some awesome wrestling.
None of that shit that's on TV nowadays. We're talking about stuff from 25 years ago. That's fantastic.
Right.
Doc, what about you, man? How you doing?
I just noticed something.
Oh, shit.
We made it. We made it through and survived our first Smoky Mountain summer. It's October now in the Smoky Mountains, and we're what now? 8 months in to the Smoky Mountain promotion, and it's come a long way.
God, that's it.
You stole my thunder. I was going to point that out after I talked about the venue or had you talk about the venue. But, yeah, you know, we're sitting here. We started this thing a while back ago now, and here we are 8 months into this puppy, October the 3rd of 1992. We've come a long way, Doc. I'm not trying to put myself over, but the show has now been mentioned on the Jim Cornette Experience numerous times. Shout out to Jim Cornette and the great Brian Lass for supporting the show and mentioning it on the Jim Cornette Experience. I've actually been on the show talking to Jim about Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Could you imagine, Doc, that all of that would have happened when we started this thing last summer? Because we actually started this in July of last year, but didn't start airing it, I think, until the end of August. That way we could stockpile a couple of episodes away before we hit the go button.
Well, just like any good white man, you like to rewrite history just a little bit. Let me clear up some of the steps that got us here just so that the people, the good people that have been on this journey with us and the new fans that are hopping on each and every day understand. This son of a bitch was 100% my idea, which then, as any good visionary leader does, finds a spot monkey to go out and execute the vision. And if you go back and you listen to the first several episodes, you'll notice that we're missing our third man in the booth, a key component of all this, Hardbody over here. And it was solely because you go, I don't think he'll watch him. I don't think he'll like this. And I don't think he can do it. And I said, no. You got to give Harper a chance. Look how good he's doing with the top fives. And you're like, no. He sucks. We're really carrying him along. And now he's in the booth. He's kept you from racist comments with the hydrated back, which is probably one of the highlights of the first 8 months. And I'm real proud to see that where Harper and I have made this show go, despite you holding us back.
Yeah, bitch.
I never said Harper couldn't do it. The only reason he wasn't on from the get-go is I just didn't think he would have an interest in watching
good wrestling.
Right. No,
he
that's
didn't like
not
good
it.
Wrestling.
Nice.
He was always, you know, I just didn't think he would want to do it. And then when we started doing it, he was like, there's some good shit. And then he started catching up, and he went back from episode one, and it was like, all right, well, yeah, let's bring him on, because he's meant the world to the flagship show. So, I need to say this, Doc, you shut up. This whole bit about being your idea, I'm not buying it. Stop trying to sell these good people that listen to our show, which, God damn, the numbers have grown astronomically ever since the great Jim Cornette put us over. It's unreal how much people are now tuning into this gimmick that we just love doing. And we started this as a love for Smoky Mountain Wrestling. But back to your lies and garbage. No, you did not. It was not your idea. What it was a collaborative effort between both of us as we were talking Smoky Mountain and realized, hey, that's the second show we've been thinking about doing. So on to things now, since you just sat over there and gave yourself a blowjob and jerked yourself off for the last two minutes as you were trying to bury me. We got a new venue, Doc. We are in Hancock County High School in Sneedville, Tennessee. And if there's one thing Doc Turner's good at, because he's not good at much, it's doing the research on the demographics whenever we get to a new location. And I'm going to tell you right now, people, if you get offended, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say if you get offended, don't get offended, because Doc likes to poke fun whenever we're in a new venue. So go ahead, Doc.
Well, you got to remember, let's set the scene. It's October, so it's starting to get chilly, and we don't have our wood-burning stoves all fired up yet. And all the hillbillies in the Smoky Mountains are looking outside of their shacks as the leaves start to turn colors. We are in Sneedville, which is located deep in the heart of Hancock County. I believe we've been here before. It seems like maybe we have that name. Hancock County seems familiar. And how many different towns in that county can there be? But I did a little research on the good people of Sneedville, and wow, look out, folks. Sneedville has a population of about 1,300. So the cream of the crop found their way to the Hancock County High School here. How many would you say we have in this building for this taping?
A couple hundred? Yeah, easily. There's a good bit there. There's a good bit.
Yep. I looked at that crowd, and it was like 3 women and 400 kids. So I figured that's about right. So Sneedville has a population, like we said, of about 1,300. 97.4% white.
I like this place. What's the cost of living there?
Says the white guy who lives in Metairie, Louisiana, which is on the outskirts of New Orleans, that ain't got no white people. So shut up, you stupid son of a bitch. He's playing heel.
Okay, so to bust the myth, to bust Harper's white nationalist pride here, 36.
Y'all really got to stop joking about this. People are going to start taking y'all serious with this white pride thing when you sons of bitches are as diverse as they come.
I'm getting ready to tell you the white lie.
Okay.
The white lie is that, you know, only the brown folks are on welfare. Well, 36.3% of the population is below the poverty line here in Sneedville. That's impressive.
Damn.
In fact, it's so impressive that I did a little further research here. In 2010, Sneedville had the 10th lowest median household income of all places in the United States with a population over 1,000 people. So we are in the poorest of the poor.
Damn. I could rule this place.
So you could go be their king.
Yeah.
So when you keep in mind, if Corny comes out and calls them welfare cases, we have crossed over the line from a work to a shoot.
Well, and he does in either this one or the next one. So
it's the second one. That is
that is so good.
I watched
it
about 50 times.
We're going to talk about it too today because we're doing two episodes. We're recording two, I should say. We're recording 36 and 37 today. Real quick, Doc, you talked about we were into the winter. Technically, this taping, I did want to mention.
I said the taping fall.
Okay, fall. The taping did take place September 21st of 1992, and they did a three-shot taping on this. One of the things Corny did tell me, which I already knew when I was on the Jim Cornette Experience, he mentioned that, you know, Dutch and we frequently say that Dutch and Bob Cottle are like, you know, jabbing back and forth. And Jim had said that, yeah, they were. But a lot of the times it was because, you know, they would do these marathon TV tapings of, you know, 3 and 4 tapings in one setting. And that was them trying to keep each other awake and just have a little fun. And, you know, in hindsight, yes, you can see that that definitely was what it was, because we've said that throughout, haven't we? That those two are just having a blast out there, just looking at each other. Cornette did verify that part. So, all right, we will get into these things. Again, this is our first recording of Smoky Mountain Wrestling since my appearance on the show, on Jim's show, but Jim's been plugging it for weeks. Our appearance. Well, you want me to say our asshole? You weren't there. What do you want me to do? What do you want from me, motherfucker?
You say we on the Twitter all the time, and Harper and I have nothing to do with that.
Well, that's because you don't know how to work Twitter. I can't help you, and Harper's barely on there. The only thing Harper does on Twitter is look at porn. I mean, what do you want me to say?
What?
That's the best use of Twitter.
That's the only use for
it. You sound like Mullet of Morton right now, Doc. That motherfucker posts women every day butt naked.
Who's the rat of the day?
I don't know. I didn't even look. Did he post one yet today? I haven't looked at it. I looked at our Twitter, but okay, so let's get into things. We are, again, Sneedville, Tennessee. This is episode 36, October 3rd, 1992. Dutch and Bob set the table. Bob tells us we're going to get a Ronnie Garvin update. Killer Kyle is going to be fighting Primetime Brian Lee for a chance at the $10,000 that the Mystery Man has a hit out on Primetime Brian Lee for. The Rock and Roll will be here. We got that storyline obviously going. Dutch is wearing a unique looking hat. He tells Bob that hat. Yeah, I know. Hold on. I'll get to you in a second, Doc. He tells Bob that he just got back from an Asian trip after Bob literally asked Dutch, "What the heck is that, Dutch?" I love when Bob Cottle does that. And hold your horses, because we got a potential of coming unglued this week, because Dutch is talking to Ron Wright and the Dirty White Boy after Dutch says Horner attacked Dirty White Boy and Ron Wright in an unwarranted fashion. Doc and Harper, I'll throw it to you, Doc, first on Dutch's claims after Dirty White Boy clearly was doing the attacking and assaulting of Horner. But what did you think of the opening segment, Doc?
Oh, we're good. It looks like some sort of wicker vase that my mom would have had for fake flowers back in like 1985 or something on his head. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure one of these weirdos out that listens to us could probably tell us the actual name for it. I don't know, but it was goofy looking on his head.
Playing heel. Go ahead, Harper. What you got?
Yeah, I was waiting to see his hat come into play somehow, and I didn't know why the hell he was wearing it. I guess he was bored.
Yeah. Well, this is the first taping at this location, so he's probably just trying to have fun. That might have been the precursor to trying to pop Dutch on the you'll notice in the upcoming episode soon, Dutch starts using the signs, and Cornette did tell me that Bob had no clue what was on those signs as they were reading the opening reads for the show. So,
well, we'll have a lot to talk about when Dutch has the sign that says he's gay with an arrow.
Well, and the other part to that, Doc, too, is remember, Dutch didn't know. I mean, I'm sorry, Bob didn't know. He had no clue what was on the signs. So here he is. He's just Bob's a straight man, and he's just going, literally, I mean, straight man as in commentator. And Bob is calling it down the middle.
We've welcomed in a large new audience recently, and I would go so far as to say some of those people have some diverse lifestyles, and we don't need you picking on them like you have a history of picking on our Latino audience.
Okay, we go to the first match of the night. It is Mike Sampson versus Ronnie Garvin. Look, I got to say something before I get into this match. I can't remember if I've said this in the last episode. This whole thing in the angle with Garvin caring about his towel is not doing it for me. And then Bob starts talking about how Garvin can't eat or sleep because of Paul Orndorff is in his head. Dutch tells Bob Cottle that Ronnie Garvin needs to get over it. Before I talk about the match, Harper, I'll throw it to you first. This whole losing sleep over a towel, just give me a sweet, short, rating of how much you like this, if it's even making sense at this point.
No, I'm just waiting for something to happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't be that invested into his towel.
I can't either. Doc, did you have anything you wanted to say about this whole losing sleep over a towel before I get into things with the match?
Well, let's keep in mind, and I agree with you guys about the towel, but let's keep in mind that we are in the 10th poorest place of its size in this country. So these people probably would get worked up if their only towel got ripped up or something. So I could see how these folks they're so poor that a towel is like a valuable item. So maybe the prop works there and we're just, better off and we don't understand. But yeah, I think what we will find is that in a week or two, this picks up. But I like this feud a lot better when it was about who could just pile drive each other through the mat.
Yeah,
it does pick up, and we're going to see some of that shortly. So on to the match now. Ronnie Garvin was giving it to Sampson with those chops and punches. It just reminded me of those old NWA Saturday night shows that we're doing where Garvin is just beating the shit out of jobbers. I mean, some of those chops Garvin laid into this guy in the corner. It sounded off like a freaking bomb or a firecracker going off. It was unreal. Garvin wins the match with a knockout punch. Besides a Roman Reigns Superman punch these days, I'll guarantee you will not see someone win a match with a punch. Doc, what did you think about the match and what I just mentioned regarding those chops or whatever else you had?
Well, my note was he's laying some wood with those chops. And then we got, you referenced the 85 Saturday night that we do on the flagship show. I had Garvin went with the nuts in your face pin attempt where he sat on his chest, just like we saw him do back on the NWA Saturday night episode a few weeks ago. So basically Garvin is keeping himself strong out there.
Most definitely. Harper, what about you? You got anything before I play the demo?
He just buried that poor Mike Sampson guy.
Those chops.
He killed his career.
Those chops in the corner when he was overhand chopping him.
Yeah.
Ah, God damn, those things sounded off. I mean, it was like the microphone must have been positioned. I mean, they were hard chops, obviously, but it was like that mic was positioned perfectly or something near him, because it was like a firecracker. Just the sound coming from it was just incredible. So we go from that to the match again. Ronnie Garvin wins. We get a repeat segment followed by Garvin, a promo. It's Orndorff ripping Garvin's towel. We talked about that either last week or week before. And then he hangs Garvin from the top rope. Now we get Garvin responding via a promo right here.
All right, fans, we're right here now with Ronnie Garvin, the man with the hands of stone. Ronnie, I said earlier, and I know he's really under your skin, this Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff. I probably exaggerated a little bit. I said you couldn't eat and you couldn't sleep. I don't think anybody can keep Ronnie Garvin that disturbed.
Well, I don't think you exaggerated. The whole incident to me boils down. Okay, I'll admit, you got to me, you attacked me from behind, you choked me with my towel. In other words, you kicked my butt. But my friend, it's not the first time Ronnie Garvin got beat. Ronnie Garvin always comes back. Ronnie Garvin is like an elephant. And don't forget, I sleep at night going to sleep thinking about you. Not thinking about you, about making love to you or kissing you or sending you a present. I'm thinking of kicking your butt, putting you out of wrestling, teaching you a lesson. And when you put your hands on me and on my towel, my personal property, you have fooled with the wrong man, my friend, and it's going to come your way real soon.
All right, fans, you have it right there from the man with the hands of stone, Ronnie Garvin. We'll be back. We'll have more, but right now, let's take time out for this.
Harper, go first. Yeah,
it seemed like he started to get lost. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, not the, you know, I want to make out with you type of thinking about you.
Yeah. It's like he stumbled in the middle of the promo. You could see it, and then he got back on track. Doc, what'd you think?
That's the kind of line I would expect out of Tim Horner.
Yeah,
that wasn't very good.
No, it
wasn't.
That's a former NWA World Champion, and I gotta say, I expect better.
Well, it was just hard to watch. Like, it's come. Let me say this: it's gonna pick up. But it's coming on.
Because I really, hold on. I really like the idea that he comes out here and goes, look, you got one over on me. You kicked my butt. Okay. It started out okay, but then it was just like, bro, you can't talk about thinking about making out with Paul Orndorff for these people.
Okay.
You'll be the heel quick.
Okay. Yeah. It was just kind of weird and quirky, and the whole thing with the top, like I said, it's going to pick up. So let's get to that right now. We go to the next match. It's Paul Orndorff versus Nitro Danny Davis. Davis gets the Paula chance going from the start. Davis also has an airbrush shirt on that has Paula on it. Orndorff, in the beginning of the match, he proceeds to ripping the shirt off of Davis. In the meantime, like, Garvin comes out, and Garvin gets a hold of Orndorff's robe, and he's modeling Orndorff's robe for what feels like 5 minutes. It's prancing around the ring, around the outskirts of the ring. Orndorff doesn't, you know, he doesn't realize any of this. And as Orndorff is about to pile drive Davis, Orndorff finally notices Ronnie Garvin prancing around in his robe on the outside of the ring. Orndorff's so upset by this, he puts Davis down and doesn't pile drive him, and because he's so distracted, he goes over to like the ropes and is looking at Davis, like pointing at him, like Garvin, like he's pissed. And Nitro Danny Davis comes behind Orndorff and schoolboys him, and Davis gets the three count and gets the win. Doc, you first. Your thoughts.
You know, I watched this, and I watched Danny Davis's ability to work a crowd and really hang in there. And you've talked about how much you thought Danny Davis was an underrated. Career would have been different if he was 6 inches taller.
Yep.
Especially in that time, you know, we hadn't got to the point where the guys his size got the prominent stage a lot. Boy, my note here was that, so you rip my towel, so I steal your robe. That's kind of like, you know, I borrowed your stapler and didn't give it back, so you blew up my house.
This angle is crazy. If you,
but if at you least, read, but it, but at least we now have a prop that's involved that is actually worth justifying the anger and all of this.
I guess, Harper, your thoughts on this?
Did it seem like he came out too early
in the match?
Yeah,
I guess, but you know, I don't know how much was edited out. You know, we don't yeah. know, but yeah, he came out real early, like you're saying.
He was really prancing around, yeah, like and he just was like, "No, I don't see you." La 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 la.
He made a few laps with that thing.
He did. He pranced around in that robe for a while. Look, here was my thoughts on this. I'm okay with the schoolboy finish and making the heel look stupid because I think that's part of wrestling. Like, a heel should look stupid. I hate when, like, a babyface gets distracted. But a heel should look stupid. That's what makes them a heel. They're supposed to be dumb. They're supposed to use cheat tactics, and they're supposed to be dumb and not as smart as a babyface. So I like the way they did it. I don't think it hurt Paul Orndorff that Danny Davis got the win. But the robe and towel war right now is comical and – that's all I can really say. I don't, you know, it's funny because it's just, I don't know. If there's one thing to be critical of, it's this. This angle is, all right. That's yeah. all.
So
I,
another,
that's all I got.
Another thing I noticed, and it took me a while, and I actually went and had to text the Menace and then go back and look. We've got a new banner on the ring apron here.
Yeah.
Rocky Mountain banner. So we went down to the graphic design place and spent $60, $75, and had them build, make us a banner. And now we've got some signage out there.
Business is picking up.
Yeah, you got to let the people know.
That's right. Now I'm gonna y'all good with what we just had? I'm gonna roll to the next promo.
Yes, sir.
All right. I normally, you know, I've been saving these local promos for the end of the episode, but this one is Ricky and Robert, so I felt it was good to play this here. So let's listen to what Ricky and Robert have to say about an upcoming local show that's going on.
Thanks for watching us here on Your Mountain Television, and be sure to watch Smoky Mountain Wrestling every Saturday at 11 a.m. Smoky Mountain Wrestling is coming to Everts, Kentucky at the Everts High School on Saturday, October the 10th, bell time, 8 p.m. Robert Fuller and Jimmy Golden, the stud stable, taking on the Fantastics. A $10,000 bounty match, primetime Brian Lee against the Mongolian Mauler. A Smoky Mountain title match in Everts, the Dirty White Boy defending against White Lightning and Tim Horner. And the Rock and Roll Express coming to Everts, taking on the Heavenly Bodies and Jim Cornette.
That's right, the Rock and Roll Express coming to Everts. I've never been there before. Let me tell you something, Jimmy Cornette. You come out here, you're putting the people down there. Let me tell you something, guys. Bring them Heavenly Bodies on down there, because brother's not going to do one thing. We're going to take care of some business.
That's right, Robert. You know, he comes here and talks about all the nice people about Kentucky. One thing about Jimmy Cornette is he's never worked a day in his life. Everything that he's ever got in his life was gave to him. It was gave to him. He's never worked for nothing. Just like us, Jimmy Cornette, nobody has ever gave us nothing. Nobody walked up with a silver platter and told us, here go Rock and Roll Express, you're the world champions. What we do, we get it ourselves, baby, because you know why? We've been known to turn poison ivy into a rose bush. I'll tell you something else. They come out here and they say that Jimmy Cornette's the greatest manager of all times. He might be a great manager. Right, he's had some great tag teams, but one thing's always stood in his way. That was the Rock and Roll Express, and we know exactly where we're at. We're right here in Smoky Mountain Wrestling, and we're going to prove to you, Jimmy Cornette, and you, Tom Pritchard, and Stan Lane, that we are the greatest tag team in history and today, and we're going to keep going on. You see, you can talk about how tough and how bad you are, but you can't what we've been, baby. We've been down many, many highways, and every road we took led us straight to the top. You see, baby, we found out the hard way, especially me, that you always need a hand to hold on to, and we can wait for a title shot. Let me tell you, baby, if you ever want to see a rainbow, you got to stand a little rain. So you bring it on, Dad, or Heavenly Bodies. We don't care what it takes, because rock and roll, we're here to stay. We're not here to play. We see you guys.
Doc, I'll let you go first.
Well, they said that they'd never been to this town, and there must be a legend out there that the rats are hot in this area, because I'll be goddamned if Ricky Morton's not trying to talk them bitches into the building. Jesus Christ, he put it on here.
He did. That's why I wanted to play it.
He got his rap going, you know, turning poison ivy into a rose bush. If you want to see a rainbow, you got to stand a little rain. All the roads go to the top. Who's been given stuff and who's been had to work for it? Man, he packed a shit ton in that little promo, and it was awesome. He was ready to roll. And then you throw it to Harper, and then I want to talk about something else about this after we talk about the interview.
Go ahead, Harper. You had anything?
Yeah, he definitely brought it for this promo and his little inspirational Instagram quotes about rainbows and
that
rain.
Was awesome. I love the rainbow. I love that, but the quote that got me in it and the main reason I played it was, again, he repeats all the nice people, you know, we got to get him into the building, so I'm going to compliment him. And then he says, we've been known to turn poison ivy into a rose bush. That was so good. Ricky Morton is just a great promo, and that's that. Go ahead, Doc. You were going to say something else.
Well, I had this actually as a note for next week, but since Harper made a joke, or one of you made a joke about our interviewer, I thought it would be an interesting sidebar here to say, that's a guy that doesn't sound too bad on when you play the promo, but on TV, oof. I don't know his name. I never picked it up. He's your ring announcer. He's your local interview guy. And that facial hair combo is a real distracting piece of business.
He looks like one of those guys you see like in those like documentaries on HBO of like the fucking mountain people or some shit. God.
Okay. Yeah. He's a interesting looking fellow. I don't want to insult him. I don't know who he is. So
do it.
He's got a good voice for this. I mean, he did a good job introducing us in and pitching everything. It's just, I don't really want to look at him.
I think it's the glasses. I really do.
It's the fucking mullet.
Yeah. Don't forget the mullet and the head and the mustache. Hey. I mean, what?
Hey, mullets aren't bad, man. Everybody's got a mullet. You know, we've become desensitized to the mullets.
He's got a receding hairline mullet, though.
Okay, all right. Well, let's keep it rolling. Next, we got Paul Lee versus Joe Kazana versus the Rock and Roll Express. Highlight of this is pretty much Corny comes out on commentary at the very beginning of the match and tells Cottle that he's got a surprise for the Rock and Roll Express in regards to an upcoming title match that the Rock and Roll is supposed to have with the Heavenly Bodies. Remember, Bullet Bob Armstrong told Cornette recently that due to the interference in the Rock and Roll and Heavenly Bodies tag match, that Bullet Bob was making the Heavenly Bodies defend against the Rock and Roll Express again. Cornette had at one point said, no, they're only going to get one shot at it. Cornette says he's not telling everybody what the surprise is, and you'll have to stay tuned to see. No matter how much Cottle tries to find out what this surprise is, Cornette says, heck no, I'm not telling you. Cottle then says, the fans deserve to know, Jimmy, what the surprise is, to which Cornette says, the only thing these fans deserve is to be horsewhipped. The Rock and Roll Express hit the double drop kick, and Cornette leaves the desk area because the Rock and Roll are on their way over to cut a promo at the desk. Doc, I'll throw it to you first. What did you think?
Did Joe Kazana stop dyeing his hair?
Probably so. It looked noticeably darker.
Yeah.
That was your comment on the match? Joe Kazana, the guy who, I think he took the finisher.
Yeah.
In the match.
His hair did look darker.
Yeah, I think he didn't dye his hair. I think, or he didn't bleach it, whatever you want to call it. Yes. Yeah, I think you're right there, Doc. What else you had, Doc?
That's it.
Okay. Harper, anything from the match?
No.
Yeah, it was pretty quick.
It was just Cornette doing commentary.
Yeah, that was the match. Cornette on commentary announcing I say that was the match. The thing to take from this segment was Cornette talking about the surprise that's coming up, and boy, does he have a surprise. So then we go to the next segment, which is, of course, I just said the Rock and Roll Express were coming over to cut a promo. And I know we just heard from the Express, but you know what? Let's hear from them again. And I think Doc had mentioned this on the last few episodes. If you don't like Rock and Roll Express promos, you might not want to tune in. Not that we're trying to run anyone away, but there are a lot of R&R promos. So here we go.
Jimmy Cornette had just had an important phone call and had to leave. But right now, let's go to Bob Cottle, standing by with the R&R Express.
Well, I tell you one thing. Jim Cornette took out of here. He split in a hurry when you guys started making your way this way, the Rock and Roll Express.
One thing about it, Bob, me and brother here, we work as a combination like one in the ring. That double drop kick, what you just seen, when he hits you at 440 pounds inside the head, you're going down for the three count. That's one move that Jimmy Cornette is really scared of. Let me tell you something, Cornette. Learn to live it, learn to love it. It's going to be around a long, long time.
Rick Cornette says he's got a big surprise for Rock and Roll.
I don't know, Bob Cottle. He's always trying to pull something over the Rock and Roll Express. But Jimmy Cornette, we don't care what kind of surprise that you might have for the Rock and Roll Express. We're here at Smoky Mountain Wrestling for one thing, and that is become the Tag Team Champions.
Now, you know many times before what Rock and Roll Express has done to you and all the teams that you have put together. But you remember one thing, Jimmy Cornette, no matter what kind of surprise you got, Rock and Roll, we are here to stay. We're not here to play. Bring it to the ring, brother. We got something for you.
All right. All right, fans, when we come back, down and dirty with Dutch Mantel right after we take this time out.
I'm a Ricky Morton mark. I got to say it again. I just think he delivers a hell of a promo. He's wearing out that line, not here to play, not here to – we're here to stay, what? Not here to play. But he's wearing out that line at this point. But it's still a good promo. Harper, your thoughts first.
Man, Ricky Morton just – he can't shoot a bad promo to save his life, huh?
Right. Even when – that's what I'm saying. Even when he repeats that line, you know, we're here to stay, not here to play, he's used it too much at this point. But even then, you're like, whatever. That motherfucker, he's still cutting it, and he's cutting gems. And goddamn, talking them into the building and making sure they want to watch and miss church on Sundays when the wrestling is on TV. Go ahead, Doc. You were going to say something.
Did you notice that Robert Gibson tried to be Ric Flair?
What do you mean?
He basically said, if you don't, I'm the best thing going today. If learn to love it. I mean, that was Gibson laying out up there. Like when we hit that drop kick, it's over. And there was some shades of Ric Flair in there. I mean, it was hard to tell because he mumbles. He talks like he's got crackers in his mouth, but whatever.
Why do you always make fun of Robert Gibson the way he talks?
Because I can't understand a fucking word that comes out of his mouth without watching it.
That's not right, man. Come on now. Be hey, more now, respectful.
Here's some actual. He's one half of the greatest tag team ever.
Okay, all right.
So let me just say this. I think it, you know, as we go through this, a lot of times it's hard to look back and make some observations as we go. But I think it's easy and safe to say we haven't seen him in a couple of weeks, and they're not gone, but that we haven't seen him in a while. That the Rock and Roll Express have clearly bumped the Fantastics from the top of the tag team babyface side.
Oh yeah, no doubt about that. No doubt about that. That's definitely happened. I'm sure this was shot like this on purpose. And, I mean, to be fair, Jim Cornette, it's come on, you know, basing, you know, he told me a few weeks back that he based the character of Bullet Bob on Bill Watts. So, and he might not have said that he was running Smoky Mountain the way Mid-South was run. But I think when I look at this, you know, Jim kind of knew that he needed to rotate things that way it didn't get stale. So while the Fantastics aren't gone, I don't mean that in any way. Now he's brought in the R&R and they're back together. So let's transition to something that's fresh. Because if you think about it, we're 8 months in now. And for 7 months, we had the Fantastics in the Heavenly Bodies. So it makes sense for that transition to take place. So, yeah, I agree with your thoughts there, Doc. All right, we'll go to the next segment. It is Down and Dirty with Dutch. Dutch kicks off Down and Dirty, throwing us to the recap of the lynching incident. And if you need a reminder, the dirty white boy hung fucking Tim Horner. And that's all there is to it.
Well, you know how I feel about recaps. But my note here was I usually don't like watching recaps. But I'll watch Horner get hung over and over and over and over and over and over and over.
Doc, you ain't lying. Harper, what did you say?
Yeah, it was fun to watch that again. Like when he goes to start fucking, when he goes to fucking drag him, then he realizes, fuck, I can't pull him all the way there. I'm gonna kill him. So he fucking goes and he picks him up, and he kind of like fucking walks him to the ring.
Harper, did you go watch the Continental where he does that to Tom Pritchard?
Oh, really? Okay.
Harper's right. He realized he can't drag him there. And you're right. I watched this again. I didn't fast forward through this recap. I watched it.
Every second.
And loved it. I watched every second of it. So, but it never gets old. You actually answered the question I was going to ask, and I didn't even have to ask it. After the lynching incident replay, they then cut to a Horner promo, and that is what I'm going to play right here for everyone.
A good look at my neck. This is an injury that I sustained in wrestling. Yes, it happened in wrestling, but no, it didn't happen in the ring. You see, I was confronting Mr. Ron Ryan, who happens to excuse me, who happens to be the manager of the Dirty White Boy. I was promised a title match if I beat the Dirty White Boy, and I went out only to get my title match. Then from behind, the Dirty White Boy comes out with a chair and whacks me over the back. Then he handcuffs me like a common criminal, puts a noose around my neck, drags me to the ring like a dog, and hangs me out to dry. Let me tell you something, I almost bit my tongue off. I was bleeding out. I think I maybe even passed out. I can't remember. But let me tell you something, Dirty White Boy. The commissioner has promised me I could have any and as many title matches as I want. So I'm over the mad part. That's right, I'm over the mad part. Now it's time to get even, Dirty White Boy. And let me tell you something, it's going to be payback. I'm going to stretch you out and pull your neck just like you pulled mine. And when it's all over, I may be Smoky Mountain Heavyweight Champion.
Which one of y'all want to go first and put the boots to this fucking shit?
Okay, so first of all, I can't wait. First of all, I wish he would have bitten his tongue off, because then it would have been impossible to hear that monotone bullshit anymore. second of all, here is the contrast in styles of how a master does it and how Tim Horner does it. If you pay attention and you listen to our flagship show, and I know all of you do, just a couple of weeks ago, we were reviewing a Saturday night and Dusty had his leg broken. And he said, look, I'm mad about it, but I can't get into the revenge. I'm trying to go for the world title. Mm-hmm. Horner's like, I'm over the mad part. But then he starts talking about getting even again. So you're not over the mad part, you dumb jackass. God almighty.
Hopper, what were your thoughts?
It wasn't bad for Tim Horner.
That's a backhanded compliment if I ever heard one. But that's great.
I mean, for him, it was the best one he did.
Would he had coughed, a couple. He had a couple with Buddy. Sell it. Yeah, that cough.
He tried to show the bruise on his neck. Ah, okay. This is where Mike turns into heel, Mike.
Did you just slip into your menace gear here?
Uh-oh.
He says, look at my neck, which does show some type of clear signs of bruises and marks from being hung. But then we get another zero personality promo from this motherfucker. This is the shits. You got fucking hung, bruh. A man tried to fucking kill you. And this is the best you got on a fucking promo? Jesus Christ.
You tried to take, he should have said something like, you tried to take from me my livelihood, my life. I have a family that depends upon me, and I'm going to make sure that I do the same to you and fire up with it.
This ain't breaking a man's leg. God bless the horseman in that angle, because that was fabulous. And this ain't breaking an arm. This ain't fucking any
bones
of the things
heal.
That you
bones think. Bones heal, man.
Right. He fucking hung him. He hung this motherfucker. He put a noose around his neck and hung him over the third rope. And the best you got is, let me tell you something, Dirty White Boy. I'm over the anger. Man, you better come into that fucking interview fired up. If that would have been Ricky Morton getting hung, can you imagine what would have came out of Ricky Morton's mouth and the inflection that would have come? This is the shit.
Ricky Morton's more fired up just thinking about talking some rats in the building and delivering on it on the goods after the mat post match than he is after he got than Morton is after he got hung.
All right, yeah, agreed. So I can't do this anymore with this guy. I've defended Horner a lot on this show. If you remember, you go back and you start listening for episode one. I've been like, you know, let's be nice to him. This was the shit. I'm 8 months into it. I'm like.
Well, if you're done with it, I don't want to give away the government cheese award halfway through the show, but let's just say that Dirty White Boy is going to try to finish the job here in a minute.
Okay. So, let us play the next segment, which if you're watching this segment, there's no break in the action. This segment, they go from like a pre-taped Horner interview to then transition to the Dirty White Boy and Ron Wright, and I'll play that right here for us.
Okay, you've seen it, folks. I want you to judge for yourself. Was it premeditated murder or was it self-defense? Right here, I have the legendary Ron Wright and the Dirty White Boy. Ron, what happened last week?
Let me tell you, I was just out here minding my own business. That Tim Horner come out here and he was in a rage. He's gone crazy. And he told me that he was going to kill me. There wasn't going to be nothing left. These people in Smoky Mountain Wrestling cut out of that tape what the man was saying. We're this celebrating. My man, he was back there and seen it and was able to get out and save my life. I was never...
Takes a sip of beer.
Are you okay, Mr. Wright?
I'm okay, but I tell you, I thought I was going to die. And it's just unbelievable that he'd treat a dirty old broke man. But tell everybody, we're not really drinking real beer. We're drinking near beer, but I'm so tore up, I just can't hardly talk anymore.
Well, Mr. White Boy, what happened last week? Why did that incident occur?
First of all, I'd like to apologize to everybody because when I seen Tim Horner come out here and jump on this poor old crippled man, something inside me snapped. And when something snaps in me, I can whoop a man, woman, or child. It makes no difference. He's a big old 100 or 1,000 pound bull. Bumped me one time. I turned around for a nut. I done knocked it cold as a wedge. So, Tim Horner, you're lucky that I didn't beat you any worse than I did. Because when I snapped, it's untelling what'll happen. Because for the simple fact, you don't put your hands on this dear old man. Because I'm on a mission. And my mission is to get his operation and get him out of this wheelchair and do all the wrestling fans a big, big favor and get this man back, possibly back in the ring, because this man is one of the truly living legends in professional wrestling today. Do you agree with me, Dutch?
Okay, what are you going to do about Jim Horner? Is he out for good or what? He's not here today.
He's not here?
No, he sent a tape and he's not here.
It's real tough sitting at home in front of a camera telling everybody what she going to do to the white boy. Why ain't you here facing me, punk?
He's afraid.
He is the biggest low-life, tired, egg-sucking dog I ever laid my eyes on. And if he was here right now, I'd slap him big jaw. Because you understand, huh? Yeah, that's right, Rod. I'll beat his stinking brains out.
Wait a minute, Mr. Wright. Watch it. Let me get out of the way.
One of the bottles, yes, sir.
Need to get some help out here.
Yes, sir. We got to get some help out, fans, right now to help Tim Horner as he's down. We'll be back. Let's take a timeout. We'll be back right after this.
We need to get somebody out here.
Here comes Tim's wife over. She's bending down over him to look at him. She knows that he's in bad shape as he's down there. We'll be back right after this, fans.
Doc, go ahead.
We're gonna be here a while.
Okay.
First of all, something I didn't notice until I just get the audio and not the video, because I've watched this obviously a couple of times. The gasp in the crowd when he hits him with that beer bottle.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, there was a lot going on there that people didn't see. Maybe you should recap sort of the broad strokes, or I'll do it here. Horner comes out. He's not supposed to be there, but here he is. And basically, Dirty White Boy comes in and uses one of those near beer bottles that Ron White was talking about and brains him with it.
Well, I think so now, what doesn't come through in the audio is when Dirty White Boy is repeatedly saying, you know, Horner doesn't deserve a title shot. Horner runs out and jumps Dirty White Boy, and he actually throws a nice punch that sounds like he connects with Dirty White Boy. I got to give him credit there on that one. So that was great. Dirty White Boy is reeling. Dirty White Boy flies into a wall that Horner throws him into, which very nice looking TV right there, and the bump that he takes and his head flying into the wall. As Dirty White Boy is reeling and falling backwards from that, Ron Wright rolls his wheelchair and tugs on the back of Horner's shirt to get Horner's attention. As soon as Horner turns around, you can't hear this in the audio, but Ron Wright kind of says it, but he doesn't have a mic on him. He goes, you wouldn't hit a man with glasses, would you? As this is happening, which I thought was great. He takes his glasses off and he shows, I'm just a poor old crippled old man, brother. But as that happens, Dirty White Boy sneaks up behind Horner, cracks him in the forehead with what was supposed to be a beer bottle. And then they roll off the set. Horner's busted open. His wife comes and checks on him. Not really a great juice job, but still, I mean, the effect is there. Trying to get some sympathy from Horner, which there's no sympathy. I just thought that the Dirty White Boy and Ron Wright were excellent in this segment.
Did you hear Dirty White Boy in there say that not only are they trying to get Ron Wright out of the chair, but they're trying to get him back in the ring now?
Yeah. I think they kind of said that once before, though, too, on a promo. He had said something about, we're going to get him to have his surgery and he's going to be better off and we'll get him back into the ring. I think they did that before.
Okay. Well, yeah. When Horner comes out, let's don't gloss over the fact that he's decked out in Zubaz. So that we're, from a time perspective, we're in the right time period here.
Tucked in shirt in the Zubaz. Harper would tell you that's the sign. That's the sign when it's tucked in. Oh, Jesus. Go ahead.
So my note here was, so Horner got snookered again and got a beer bottle upside the head for his troubles. Jesus, Dirty White Boy is living out all of Doc's fantasies. And the last thing I noticed here was, as we're, you know, trying to get out of here and go to black, because, you know, Caudle is like, you know, holy shit. Horner's wife comes over, and she doesn't seem all that concerned either. I was like, all right, even his wife can't stand him.
I don't know. She seemed like she was concerned. I mean, she was checking on him.
Whatever.
Harper, would you hit that?
Huh?
Would you get some of that, Horner's wife?
I wouldn't put it past me.
Yeah.
Jesus. Oh, Harper, what'd you think about the segment?
He can't win, huh? Tim Horner can't fucking win. Fuck. He can just fucking stay at home, huh?
I tell you what, God bless Jim Cornette and who, because I'm, God bless him, because he was really trying to draw some sympathy for Horner. He was trying, because Horner, you know, he got hung last week, and then this week he had a beer bottle shattered on his forehead.
God damn. Yeah.
He's trying, but in a nutshell, the problem is everything he's doing is not working because Horner just – Jim has said this about Horner. He had zero personality. I don't remember his exact words when he talked about Horner on that YouTube clip. He just doesn't – Horner doesn't have it. He does not have the personality. Great wrestler in the ring. Very technically sound. You can see it if you watch his matches, not just in Smoky Mountain Wrestling, but if you go back and watch WCW when he was there. I mean, he can wrestle. He needs a mouthpiece. He can't cut promos. Let me say this. He can't cut. Maybe the Mountain folks and the Smoky Mountain folks, some of them think he could, but no. not for us. Not the promos I grew up watching in Mid-South Wrestling. This guy would have never made it. Bill Watts, I got to believe Bill Watts. Well, he was in the UWF, so Watts used him. I just don't remember him cutting many promos in the UWF at that time. But, man, no, fuck this. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Anything else before I move to the next segment?
No, I'm good.
All right, so we go to the next segment. We got this is Bullet Bob Armstrong promo, and he's interrupted by Jim Cornette. So let's play that here and listen to see what these two have to say.
All right, fans, we're right back out here, and Tim Horner now is still down. He's still being administered to right there. And here's Smoky Mountain Commissioner Bob Armstrong. Commissioner, I assume that you saw all of what happened.
Right on the monitor back there. You know, this has gone a little bit too far. He's gone one step over the line. I'll tell you what, I'm going to fine him $2,500, and I'd fine him more if I could, but that's all I can do on my own until I go before the board of directors. But it's going to cost him $2,500 tonight. This is not a bar room, boys. This is professional wrestling. We do it in the ring. We don't bust bottles over people's head. He was calling Tim Horner a coward earlier. That's the most cowardly thing I've ever seen in my life, to spin a man around and break a bottle over his head. He's cut bad. He's going to have to pay the price. Dirty White Boy, you are going to pay the price. And as far as I'm concerned, you'll be working from now on, and you'll never get that so-called operation, brother. He may have to be there a while.
Well, wait a minute.
Hey, excuse me. Jim Cornette. You know, I knew I was going to see you out here sooner or later. If we, you know, you gotta hire a woman to come in and clean up every now and then around here. Can we take the trash out so that I can talk to you about something serious? You see, I got a little surprise for you, Bob Armstrong. Just like he just got surprised, you and the Rock and Roll Express are fixed to get surprised. You've been trying to sign this title match with my heavenly bodies in the Rock and Roll for a long time now.
Right.
Well, you see, my mother, she's really on top of things in the business world, has been for a long time. She's managed the Cornett Empire all by herself. But she's got a crack staff of attorneys. And that crack staff of attorneys has gone to work on this situation. You see, we gave the Rock and Roll Express one chance, Bob Armstrong, at the tag team title, and they blew it. They didn't win the belts. So now there's a lot of other teams out there that deserve a chance before they get a return match. This is an I know you don't know anything about the law.
No,
this is an injunction, Bob Armstrong. And what that means is you cannot book the Heavenly Bodies against the Rock and Roll Express for the title. Hey, we'll wrestle them all you want. But you cannot sign a title match with us and the Rock and Roll Express as long as there are other teams that deserve a chance that haven't gotten one opportunity. Like next week, Dixie Dynamite and Danny Davis, I can think of, say, Joe Kazana and Pat Rose. A lot of top teams haven't had a shot. So that's my injunction, Mr. Commissioner. You can't sign a title match as long as we keep defending against people that haven't had the opportunity. Have a good day. Sorry to interrupt your little party here.
What about that, Commissioner?
Well, I got to say, I looked it over. It looks legitimate, but I'll tell you this. His mother may have a crack staff of lawyers, but Smoky Mountain Wrestlers has got some lawyers, too. And I'm going to do some research on this, Bob, if you'll excuse me.
All right, and fans, now we know what the surprise is for Rock and Roll for Mr. Jim Cornette. We're going to be back. We'll have more action right after we take this brief time out.
Harper, go ahead, man. You got some thoughts on it?
Cornette's mama's back, man. She's fucking taking control over this shit.
She sure is. She got.
Does she ever come out?
I don't think so. I'm gonna say no, but yeah, go ahead. What else you got?
It's just Jim Cornette saves a fucking day, man.
One thing after another. Let's throw the fishing line out there again and try to work another angle, and it's working. Doc, your thoughts?
First of all, I thought, $2,500 is not an insignificant amount of money. So Ron Wright's surgeries are definitely going to get pushed back here. So I feel bad for brother Ron. But also, Corny was just fantastic walking up on the scene like, hey, that's cute. Somebody got their ass kicked. Then he said,
you need to hire a woman to clean up around here. Did you catch that line when he picked up that shard of glass?
And it was just really interesting because it merged angles and we segued from one to the other real seamlessly, and it was just really done well. Mm-hmm. The other thing that's frustrating for me is I listen to more wrestling historian versions of Smoky Mountain and you hear this stuff, is that it's very clear that there's a whole bunch of stuff that goes on in the promotion outside of the purview of the weekly TV show. And you get a little bit of it here where Corny says Joe Kazana or Paul Lee or whoever and Pat Rose haven't had a shot. And Pat Rose was a guy who worked, you know, around different promotions, but we haven't seen him yet. And so it's clear he's working for Smoky Mountain, but he hasn't been on TV. So there's a little bit of a disconnect there because there's stuff going on that we haven't seen. So.
No, I think that was Cornette's way of, like, kind of trying to work the people and saying that. Because I remember Pat Rose. I remember these people he's talking about. I think that's a heelish way of saying, we're going to give these guys a title shot. When you're a fan, you're going, those motherfuckers don't deserve a title shot. What are you talking about? It's just a way to get heat. I thought that was fine.
I'm just saying that Pat Rose has been wrestling in the promotion and we haven't seen him. There's things that go on that don't happen necessarily all on TV.
I'm selfish.
I want it all. I want the whole tapes. I want the house shows. I want everything.
I want to say, you know, this is in the territories you didn't get the house shows on TV. I'm sorry, Doc. Hey, real quick, $2,500 in 1992. Any guess on how much that is in 2017? Because I did do the math on it when I was taking notes for the episode.
3,000.
3,175.
Okay, 2,500 in 92 equates to 4,340 in 2017.
God damn.
Yeah. That's a lot of money. So just to put that in perspective, how much money that would have been. I loved Armstrong here. you know, this isn't a ballroom, boys. This is wrestling. You do your fighting in the ring. Side note, I mentioned this earlier. When I talked to Cornette on the Jim Cornette Experience, he mentioned Bullet Bob was his Bill Watts of Smoky Mountain, the way Watts was the authority figure in Mid-South. This is a great segment that illustrates that, and that's kind of, you know, that was like my big takeaway from it as I was watching it. I just thought this was really good, like you said, Doc. You know, Cornette comes in, haha, that's funny, you know. He's just making a joke out of Horner getting busted open when they hit with a bottle, and that Bob needs to hire some women to clean up the mess around here, or a woman to clean up the mess. I thought that was a nice heel tactic. Bullet Bob is very perplexed a little at the injunction at the crack staff of attorneys. Great usage of language right there. And he'll have to talk to the Smoky Mountain attorneys to see what he can find out, if there's anything that can be done. I just thought that was a beautiful segment. Bullet Bob, not doing deputy dog here, but definitely going to do some more research. And that was all I had there. Can we move on to the next segment?
Yes, yeah. Ma'am.
All right, we got a dream match promo. Just a note on this: this was something else that I, you know, didn't realize as I was diving into the Smoky Mountain Project, and we were all doing this. So I've been watching these Mid-South episodes on the network, and I guess I had forgotten that they did this same thing in Mid-South in 81 and 82. So for what it's worth, I guess Cornette took that from Bill Watts' idea in Mid-South, and I just never realized it until now, because I don't remember them promoting dream matches on Mid-South TV, but there was so much going on that, you know, that was like the last thing that would be memorable to me.
You were sitting there, don't get it twisted, you were sitting there on the couch with your little belly empty and crying and not nobody paying attention to you, so your attention was divided when you were watching wrestling as a young child. But I do want to say that we will get a little bit more about these dream matches filled in on next week's program.
Yes sir, we will. And thank you for the I shouldn't say thank you, fuck you, sitting on the couch with an empty belly. We didn't even have a couch, asshole. Killer Kyle versus Primetime Brian Lee is the next match, and this is a bounty match. Kyle is going for the $10,000. Bob Cottle is still very upset about Horner getting busted open upside the head with a glass bottle. The Heavenly Bodies come out on commentary during the match. The Heavenly Bodies sarcastically talk about how sad they are that they can't give the Rock and Roll Express a match for the tag team, Smoky Mountain Wrestling tag team titles. Stan Lane, I really thought, did a good job during this segment on commentary. He's snarky. The sarcasm was excellent. A line I loved in this exchange with Bob Cottle and the Heavenly Bodies was when Cottle said, "The Rock and Roll Express are four-time world tag team champions." And the Heavenly Bodies, or Stan Lane, actually comes back and says, "And Nixon used to be president. So what's your point, Bob Cottle?" I'll stop there and just ask your thoughts, Doc.
If we're so worried about this sicko that's out there stalking Primetime Brian Lee, why are we sanctioning a match where Killer Kyle can win $10,000?
Because it's Southern wrestling, and that's what we did.
Also, we've been building Kyle up for several weeks as this monster. I just thought it was an odd choice that then he would be in the ring with Primetime, but that's just me.
Harper, you got comments, or you want me to finish out the match?
You can finish it out. It's just
okay.
But the Heavenly Body did sound very good doing the commentary.
Yeah, they were great. Doc, the reason I stumbled for a second, I have some thoughts about that. So let me go through my notes. Pretty good main event for me. Remember, it's been weeks on end, and to Doc's point, Kyle has really, he hasn't bumped or sold much of anything in months at this point. I don't know the last time that we saw him. Well, the last time we saw him really bump much was episode one. But to Doc's point, Kyle has been built as a monster. Primetime Brian Lee starts getting the upper hand on Kyle during the match, and the Heavenly Bodies finally decide to get involved, and the Heavenly Bodies and Kyle are now ganging up on Primetime Brian Lee. So I can see why Cornette would have booked it this way. You know, this is Primetime Brian Lee. He's trying to draw some sympathy, and he shows him in there mixing it up with Killer Kyle. They're two big monsters. They're going at it. You know, nobody's really superior to the other, so they're going to trade some blows. But in the end, Kyle still needs the Heavenly Bodies, and I thought that was fine. The Rock and Roll come out for the save and start mixing it up on the outside with the Heavenly Bodies. Cornette then gets involved in the ring. Cornette is about to hit Primetime Brian Lee with his racket, but he gets scared. And then Primetime Brian Lee gets a hold of Cornette. As Primetime Brian Lee is choking Corny, Another stalker hits the ring. This guy looks like an old Samoan savage, I guess you can call him. Some more baby faces come out to help Primetime Brian Lee, and they chase off this new stalker. The stalker powders out, and we go to commercial. Doc, your thoughts on the actual match at that point?
Yeah, I had to agree. Mine was meh until the mystery guy comes out. The mystery guy does not look like a spring chicken. He looks like he's been doing this for a while, correct?
Yeah.
I would say so, yeah.
I have no clue who this man is.
Well, neither do we. That's what made Southern Wrestling great. And there weren't spoilers back then, even though this
right,
was taped
but my point
weeks before
is,
it aired.
My point is that I don't have a name for him, and he's not 22 years old, so I just don't know where this guy came from. He's a true mystery man.
There you go. Harper, any thoughts on the match?
Who is this guy?
Yeah.
A mystery man, Jesus.
And he's and remember, he's the third one now. He's the third
right.
one. So it's heating up. It's heating up. We anything else before I go to the next segment?
No.
No.
Okay. I am going to play this real quick house show promo again because it is the Cornet and Heavenly Body. So local promo, I got to play it because the reason I played the one earlier in this one is because of how good it is. And just pay attention how they talk the people into the building here.
Golden will take on the Fantastics, a $10,000 bounty match with Brian Lee taking on the Mongolian Mauler. A Smoky Mountain title match, the Dirty White Boy defends his title against White Lightning Tim Horner, and the Rock and Roll Express in efforts to take on the Heavenly Bodies managed by Jim Cornette.
You know something, it amazes me, Eastern Kentucky, like I've said before, the welfare capital of the world, so many people out there sitting back in those little hovels back in the hills, taking a handout from the government once a month. You're the same as the Rock and Roll Express, you always want something handed to you. The Rock and Roll Express, they want a title match handed to them. Well, they ain't going to get one, but what they are going to get right there in Everett, Kentucky, is the beating of their stinking lives, right, Tom?
You see, you could talk about being four-time world champions. You could talk about where you've been all over the country, all over the world, but you're in Smoky Mountain Wrestling now, and you're looking at the rulers, and you're looking at the enforcers of tag team wrestling here. Is that right or not, Stan?
You know, it's awfully easy to go out every night and party and call yourselves rock and rollers and party animals and drink the beer and have the pretty girls around. But when you're like us, when you got 10 pounds of gold and virgin cowhide on your shoulder, brother, you got to be in the gym every morning. You got to be running 10 miles a day. You got to be in top condition because we're the champs and you're the chumps. Right, Jimmy?
So let me tell all the people there in Everett, you want a thrill? You want to see something the likes of which you people never get to see? Real men, real gold, real talent? Then come on down to that Everett High School, brother, on October the 10th, because Smoky Mountain Wrestling is coming to town. And the Heavenly Bodies are going to make sure that Saturday, October the 10th, is the day the music died. Rock and Roll Express, I sincerely hope you got your insurance paid up, and I sincerely hope the people in Everett are there to see you go down.
You are going down.
That's how you talk people into the building, Doc.
Yeah.
I just popped when Stan Lane said, drink the beer. That's kind of like he's on marijuana or, you know, just it's such a great line because it positions him as being straight and narrow when, you know, that's such a great line. And then I'm going to out you here real quick. Are you familiar with the term, the reference, the day the music died, Menace?
No.
That old song?
Well, that's also a reference to the original origin of the song, of that term, which is when Buddy Holly and the Big Boppers plane went down in the late 50s, it was termed the day the music died. And see, they were the original rock and roll folks. And Corny's pulling that out saying that they're going to end the Rock and Roll Express, so it'll be like the day the music died. So there's a lot to that reference there. It's got a lot of meaning. So I know you don't know that, so you wouldn't catch it. But here I am here to help.
Sue me. I mean, there's a lot of things I know that you don't know. So what's your point?
That is 100% untrue.
Okay. Well, thank you for, you know, playing Doc Turner the heel and wanting to call people stupid. Right after
just
that,
you,
we got
to... Just you. I think most of our people out there know who AC/DC is and would know who Buddy Holly's plane crash was called. I think I'm going to be justified here.
Hey, a couple weeks back, I knew who Queen was. Another One Bites the Dust.
Yeah. You
got about that already? Doom, doom, doom. Another One Bites the Dust. Anyway, okay. Thank you for the history lesson, Doc. I had no clue. But what I will say about that is that was a great local promo, talking to people into the building. You do not see that anymore whenever you watch WWE TV or anything else. You just don't see it. It does not happen. It's like non-existent in today's professional wrestling, and it's a miss. It's one of the things, actually, if you I'm going to promote it again. If you're watching any of the old Mid-South shows on the network that I miss about those episodes, none of the local promos are there. And if you're like me who watched Mid-South, you know, weekly Saturday afternoons in New Orleans, the local promos were like as much a part of the show as the show was. It was like, it was a big part of it, because you had JYD cutting gems on there, and you just had you had these heels on there cutting great promos. It was just great TV, and kind of missing from that. And I point that out with this because these local promos, you know, it's an example of wrestling the way it used to be that's no longer. And corny,
yeah.
God, they're talking them into the building right here.
Yeah,
man,
I remember,
they're doing a good job.
I remember seeing those old from my watching Superstars as a kid, and having seeing Rick Rude or someone shooting the promo about, you know, when I get to New Orleans, and screaming at my mom, "Mama, they're coming!"
Right? Yeah.
And she's like, "Tell your dad, don't tell me."
Yeah, exactly. And, they don't do that now. All they do is advertise,
like,
that they're coming
body,
to town.
Did you take? She was like, "Hard body, did you take out the trash yet?
Get off my case, mom."
All they do now is run a freaking segment that says Raw will be in town on March the 20th. Tickets start at $20, but there's nobody talking them in that wants to come and see. It's all about the brand and not the actual guys talking them into the building. So it's just a point there. We go from that segment and that local promo to another Super 8 Motel Ring Rat episode, Ring Rat commercial, where we're promoting the Super 8 Motel in Morristown, Tennessee, for their lush accommodations of the Smoky Mountain Wrestling talent.
And did you see that you could ask for the corporate rate? I bet nobody ever asked for the corporate rate.
Asked for the Super 8 corporate rate. It sure did say that. We go from that to a closing promo of the show, and I got that for us right here. This is Nitro Danny Davis, the Rock and Roll Express, along with Dixie Dynamite and Primetime Brian Lee. Here it is.
Oh, yeah.
All right, fans, right here back at ringside. Hey, yeah. Nitro Danny Davis, that had to be the biggest win ever for you.
Now, let me tell you something. That's right. Paula Orndorff, it just proves one thing, that on any given night, any man can be beaten, and we beat you, Paula Orndorff. Now, I want to say something else. Anytime Primetime Brian Lee needs my help, I'm behind him 110%.
That's exactly right. Tell him about it, Rock and Roll.
Hey, you know what the surprise is now, Rock and Roll?
Yeah, we finally found out what it was. That Jimmy Cornette come out here with some kind of spooky conjunction against us that we can't get no tag match for the titles. Well, Cornette, let me tell you one thing. Sooner or later, we're going to get it. They say good things come to those who wait. And in order to see that rainbow, you got to stand a little rain. Make sure, Cornette, we're coming after you, baby.
All right, Primetime Brian Lee right here.
Primetime Brian Lee, I just want to say one thing. No matter what happens, when it happens, all the boys right here are behind you 100%.
That's right, baby. United as one. And I want to say another thing. This so-called bounty, $10,000 on Primetime. You've done it all. You know, I'm tired of messing with the preliminaries. I want the man behind it all. And I'm standing here. If you have any guts, come out and get in my face right
do
now,
it,
punk, because I'm waiting on you.
Next week, fans, right here at Title Match, Nitro Danny Davis, Dixie Dynamite against the Heavenly Bodies for the title next week right here at Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Oh, well, I actually thought there was some good stuff there, but then there was some bad stuff, too. Doc, your thoughts?
Rock and Roll's third interview of the hour.
Yeah. Yeah. Even though it was a mix, I hear you. Any other thoughts, Doc?
Man, Primetime Brian Lee must have this weird condition where if he's holding the heavyweight strap, he gives pretty good interviews, and if he's not, they're just terrible.
There are people like that, though. Because you're right. We talked about that. He's had this when he was a champ, it was better. With him not being a champ, it's like, hard to make it through. I actually thought that promo, I thought Ricky Morton was good, talking about the whole rainbow thing. And I thought Nitro Danny Davis was real good and showed some fire. You know, I believed him. There was a lot. I even thought Dixie Dynamite, you know, his little brief segment, I thought it was fine. But Primetime Brian Lee just doesn't seem, he knows. It doesn't feel like he knows how to amp it up. And it's not that he wasn't excited. It just, I just can't get behind him. I don't know. Harper, your thoughts?
I just can't. It's just that whole Paula thing just doesn't do anything for me. But I'm 40 years old now. But I mean, maybe when I was 8, 9 years old, that would have worked. But yeah, it's just, I just want to see them finally work a match and then put that shit behind them.
What you talking about?
With the whole Paul Orndorff and the
you talking about that angle? Okay, I thought I misunderstood. Okay, yeah, I'm ready for that shit to be done too. I totally agree there. I don't know. This is this segment was it was what it was, and it closed the show, and we go from there. So, Doc, I am. We got to give out some disability checks at this point. So let's.
We've got a lot of new listeners here. Do you want to explain the concept of the disability check rating system?
No, you do it. I'm tired.
Okay, so basically, there. You know, we grade every episode on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being watching Mike Mills when in his former independent wrestling days work a match. 10 is Starrcade or watching Harper manage people down at Wildcat Sports. So we give out 1 to 10 on it, and we term it disability checks because we like to put this in a frame of reference that the good people of the Smoky Mountains will resonate with. This episode, Harper just said it, and it kind of sums it up. It's like, I'm kind of ready for the Garvin Orndorff blow off. I feel like we're in this sort of purgatory where a lot of our angles we had the big blow off a while back for some of these things, but we haven't really started off on some new angles. We're kind of in a no man's land here, I think, with some of these angles. And so while you have some great moments in the hour where Horner gets brained with a bottle and there's some really good interviews, it doesn't feel like we had another mystery man come out. I don't feel like we've heated things back up for the next big event. So it's good, but not great. And as such, it gets a 6.9.
Oh, wow. Harper, what did you give it?
I gave it a 7.5, which is low for me. It's just that whole the Paul Orndorff thing and the whole Paula thing and to be honest with you, that whole the mystery stalker thing. I don't know. It's starting to get old.
You got 5 more weeks of that, son.
Yeah, let me tell you. Don't let that one get to you. It pays off. You'll enjoy the payoff. Yeah, you don't let that one get to you. You will enjoy the payoff and be like, God damn, when it does pay off. But I agree. The Paul Orndorff thing is definitely a downer. Not the Paul Orndorff thing, but the whole towel thing with Garvin. And I'm ready for that to end. I did give it a 7.5, like Harper, because we're going to talk about why in a second, but it got a 7.5 from me. I didn't think it was the greatest. I definitely didn't think it was the worst, you know, as you look back at some of the stuff we've seen, but 7.5, which is on a higher end. Cause I mean, Doc, we gave out some fives and sixes in the early on, if you recall. So yeah. Don't let it, when we say 7.5, don't take that as an insult. If you put it on a scale of a rating, it would probably be a B+, A- type show, which is still a good show weekly. That's where I'm at with it. I want to remind everyone, if you're listening to us and you're a first-time listener, hey, please subscribe to the show. Catch us on iTunes, Podcast Addict, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher. We're there. Just search Booking the Territory. I know this is the Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast, but if you search Booking the Territory on any of those platforms, you can subscribe to the show. And if on iTunes, we would appreciate a 5-star review. We could use some more of them. If you just like listening online for some reason, I know there are people who tell me, well, I listen at my desk at work. I plug in my earbuds. Well, you can go to tinyurl.com/bttpod to listen there. Subscribe to the show. And like I said, 5-star review would be appreciative. You can also please use our Amazon referral link if you love what we're doing with the Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast at tinyurl.com/bttamazon. And then on social media, we're on Twitter at @BTT_podcast. I'm at Mike504Saints. Hardbody Harper, let's get his followers up. Go to @CJHWhoDat. If you like naked women, he's always posting pics of naked women. Him and Mullet of Morton are best friends, I believe. Yeah, there you go. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. I want to point you all to the Facebook page because what I've been trying to do lately is I have been trying to post more, you know, old school pictures, more you know, of our top tens that we cover on the flagship show, from the PWI magazines, PWI covers. So not just the show posts are there, but we also are posting some historical content related to things related to the history of pro wrestling. You know, it's got a heavy Mid-South influence, heavy NWA influence as well, along with heavy Smoky Mountain Wrestling influence. But I'm posting stuff there, so please go to the page, facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. And also, you can check out our Pro Wrestling Tees store. If you click the Shop Now button from the facebook.com Booking the Territory page, you will go to our Pro Wrestling Tees store. And then lastly, I have to shout out all of our patrons. Please consider becoming a patron. It is a great way to support the show, and it doesn't cost much, only a few bucks a month. You'll get the patron episodes. You'll also get exclusive chances to cut a promo on Doc Turner, Hardbody Harper, myself, or any other thing that you want to cut a promo on. So I want to say thanks to Lone Wolf, Codeman, Josh Warren, Jeff, Adam, William, Dan N, Jason, Dan V, David, DeVries, Tim, who is this? Twit Dust, Matt, who else am I looking for? Wayne G, Boone Hauer, Armando, Marty Howell. Thank you very much for all of your support of the show. We really, really appreciate it. I think that's all the plugs at this point, Doc. I know you hate when I do that, but, you know, we got to pay the bill somehow, man. This is not free what we do here. It does actually cost me money when you're always complaining. Shout out to Joe Stassi, his Facebook page. It's Old School Pro Wrestling Lives and the ICW Outlaws of Professional Wrestling. Go like those pages and become a member of their community. They also throw up some great old school content that I think you all would love. Let's hand out the Government Cheese Award, Doc, by longtime listener Shard Johnson. And I got a feeling we're all going to hand out the same Government Cheese this week. So, Doc, you first.
Well, the Government Cheese, for all our new listeners, is to the angle or the people who really shined, who really deserve an extra bit of attention as we get out the door here. Man, you brain Horner with a beer bottle and you get the Government Cheese. So Dirty White Boy, I think he got it last week for hanging Tim Horner. So you keep Dirty White Boy, you keep messing with Tim Horner and I'll keep giving you that Government Cheese.
Harper, who got the cheese for you?
Yeah. Dirty White Boy, man. Hopefully next week he gets hit by a car or something. Or he takes a dog on him or something.
We are brutal to Horner. God, Don. It's funny because I really tried to defend Horner as this show's been going on for 8 months. I mean, there was a time period I used to kick Doc in the shins for
burying Horner. I started hitting him as soon as I saw him try to fucking sing. Where he tried to be a goddamn country singer. That sounds like, fuck you, man.
I don't want to infuse the current product, but I just watched Impact last night, and they showed James Storm, who I really like, in a studio cutting country tracks, and all I could think about was, "Don't do it, James! Don't do it! This is the way to get hated."
Oh boy, yeah, I didn't watch Impact. We're recording this on April the 7th, 2017, but I haven't watched Impact from last night yet at this point. I don't know if I will. I'm very, very down on that product right now. So anyway, and plus there's so much other good stuff I can watch, like Smoky Mountain Wrestling and Mid-South Wrestling these days. So that's what I've been investing my valuable time into whenever I have some free time outside of coaching baseball. So, Doc, my Government Cheese, you know, not going to shock anyone here. Dirty White Boy and Ron Wright. It's a combination of Dirty White Boy just plastering a freaking beer bottle on Tim Horner's head. And I just love Ron Wright when he rolled up behind the Dirty White Boy, tugged on his shirt as Horner was trying to put the boots to the Dirty White Boy who's on the ground. And when Horner turns around, bruh, he hit reverse like he was a pro. He wheeled that some bitch back, that wheelchair, and he's immediately grabbing him. Oh, no, brother. You wouldn't hit a man with glasses, would you? I just thought that was a great line. And got to give it to Dirty White Boy and Ron Wright. That's all I got. Doc, you got anything before we get out of here this week?
I really like the new banner.
The banner. Seriously, Doc?
No, here's the thing. I don't want it to sound like I'm down on this because you're right. These episodes in the 30s are still better than the ones in the first, you know, 10 or 12. And I know what's coming, and we're about to heat back up again. Don't worry. It seems like a little lull here, and even the lull is entertaining. But we got some hot things right around the corner.
Yeah, I agree. When you know what's coming, it's easy to stick with it. And I don't even think this is bad. You got to remember.
No, not at all.
It's still only taking up 50 minutes of your time if you're watching it. So how bad could that be? It's not like a 3-hour shit show. No company's being named at that point. Anyway, Harper, you got anything before we get out of here?
No, let's move on.
All right, let's move on. We got some stuff coming up that we're going to do in episode number 37. We're going to record that later today. But for Mike and Doc, I want to remind everyone, and Hardbody Harper, please consider becoming a patron member. Go to tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. And all the links that I mentioned a second ago, they are in the show notes description, however you're listening to this, whether it's on a PC or on your app on your phone. Please check those links out and become a patron. Again, tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. We'd appreciate it. Other than that, for Mike and Doc, and Hardbody Harper. Harper, hit the tagline and get us out of here. And we look forward to talking to everyone next week for episode 37. Harper, hit the tagline.
Book it, bitch.
All right, Rock and Roll Express right here, Dutch. Tag team action. What a pleasure it is to have such an outstanding combination as this on Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And the fans, wherever they go, Dutch, they love them. I tell you, the young folks.
Bob, you say that every week.
They do.
Excited. You say that every time the Rock and Roll comes in, that everybody loves them.
I know
for a fact they don't love them. Fans, if you tuned in late, the main event today on Smoky Mountain Wrestling, $10,000 bounty match.
Kyle
is taking on primetime Brian Lee. Joining us at the announcer's booth right now, none other than my good friend, Mr. Jimmy Cornette. Jimmy.
You mean I got to put up with this Jim Cornette out here while I got the Rock and Roll Express? What a fantastic team they are in the ring. Four times, Jim Cornette, World Tag Team Champion.
Bob Caudle, let me tell you something right now. You are a big problem with me. Do you realize that? Bob Caudle, are a big problem with me because you don't have any idea what you're talking about. You see, I come out here, I try to help you with this commentary. I try to help Dutch Mantel because it's a thankless task. Boy, I tell you what, I don't know how the Dutch puts up with you in the first place. And I come out here and I try to brighten up your day, and what do? You try to downgrade me. Let me tell you something. The Rock and Roll Express are in the ring. Yeah, don't eyeball me, boy. I'll come over and slap a taste out of your mouth. The Rock and Roll Express have been going all around screaming about how they won a title
match
with the Heavenly Body.
And they deserve it, Jim.
They had one. They had a shot. They had one shot, brother. They had one shot, and they didn't win. So what I'm saying is there's other teams out there that deserve a chance. Bob Armstrong's been putting pressure on me. Everybody's been putting pressure on me in Smoky Mountain Wrestling, but I got a little surprise. And I'm going to see Bob Armstrong somewhere around here in the course of the program. And I'm going to deliver that surprise to him. I got a surprise for the Rock and Roll Express.
Oh, a surprise? What is it, Jim? What's the surprise for the Rock and Roll Express?
You act like I'm having a birthday party or something. Yeah. I'm having a surprise for the Rock and Roll Express about that title match they want. It's not going to be quite as easy as they think it is.
You mean you're not going to tell us what the surprise is?
If I told you what the surprise was, Bob Carly, it wouldn't be a surprise.
Jim, come on. I think all of the fans deserve that. You ought to tell the fans and the wrestling fans out there what you got in store and what you got in mind.
These fans don't deserve anything but being horsewhipped. That's exactly what these fans deserve. They deserve to be horsewhipped.
Well, there's no doubt, and I'm gonna give the devil his due, an outstanding. Look at that move! When you talk about teamwork and timing and a way to work together, look at that beautiful timing on that
Bob,
double drop kick.
I hear the telephone ringing. I'll be back.
Oh,
later.
Wait a minute! Jim Cornette took off, and he took off
the
in a hurry.
Rock and Roll Express.
The winner is the Rock and Roll Express, and I don't blame him, Dutch. I would take off too. Let's go back now, Dutch, and take another look at that.
All right, Jimmy Cornette made some real good points out here. I want to go a surprise, but he didn't tell us what it was. Right there we see the Rock and Roll doing their signature move, doing the double drop kick, and they get a win right here on Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Jimmy Cornette had just had an important phone call and had to leave. But right now, let's go to Bob Caudle, standing by with the R&R Express.
Well, I tell you one thing. Jim Cornette took out of here. He split in a hurry when you guys started making your way this way, the Rock and Roll Express.
One thing about it, Bob, me and brother, who work as a combination like one in the ring, That double drop kick, what you just seen, when he hits you at 440 pounds inside the head, you're going down for the three count. That's one move that Jimmy Cornette is really scared of. Let me tell you something, Cornette. Learn to live it, learn to love it. It's going to be around a long, long time.
Rick Cornette says he's got a big surprise for Rock and Roll.
I don't know, Bob Cowell. He's always trying to pull something over the Rock and Roll Express. But Jimmy Cornette, we don't care what kind of surprise that you might have for the Rock and Roll Express. We're here at Smoky Mountain Wrestling for one thing, and that is become the Tag Team Champions. Now, you know many times before what Rock and Roll Express has done to you and all the teams that you have put together. But you remember one thing, Jimmy Cornette, no matter what kind of surprise you got, Rock and Roll, we are here to stay. We're not here to play. Bring it to the ring, brother. We got something for you. All right.
All right, fans, when we come back, Down and Dirty with Dutch Mantel, right after we take this time out. Our big main event, but Dutch, I tell you, it's going to take a little bit probably away from the Bounty match, but I am just shocked. I'm really horrified at the attack with the bottle on Tim Horner by the Dirty White Boy. Glass still all over the place out here.
Well, how do
nobody,
you like-
but nobody resorts to something like that, to using something like a bottle, a beer bottle, to hit someone over the head in a professional sport like wrestling.
Yeah, let me tell you something, Bob.
Let's hear the heavenly body.
Well, let's introduce, let's tell everybody who's here. The heavenly body is Doc Tom Pritchard and Mr. Stan Lang joining us for some commentary here at the desk. Guys, what do you think about the Rock and Roll and that Jimmy's big, grandiose scheme?
Well, first of all, I was sitting listening to Bob Caudle crying out here. Well, you know, Tom and I have been crying ourselves back behind stage back there. You know why? We are so sad, Dutch, because we can't put the titles on the line against the Rock and Roll Express. We wanted to put the titles on the line. We do. Every night of our lives, we sit and talk after we train for 4 and 5 hours. We say, gosh, if all the guys around, those guys deserve a shot, and we really want to give them to them. But, hey, you know, things happen, Bob, and sometimes you just can't do it.
Well, you're right. I just want to add to that, Stan, if I may, is you're right. We do have the enthusiasm to show everybody in the country today to put the titles on the line and to show not only you, not only Dutch, but everybody in the entire country, along with the Rock and Roll Express, that we can beat you, and we will put up the titles to do it. But like you said, that's just the way it is, and that's what we got to do, our manager said.
So what you're saying, guys, is that y'all would willingly put the titles on the line. You'd really, you want to, but they don't really deserve the shots. You want to go for teams who haven't had an opportunity to take a shot at them. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, the bottom line is this, Dutch. The Rock and Roll Express had their chance, okay?
Of course.
Had their chance. There are so many worthy teams right here in Smoky Mountain Wrestling that deserve a chance.
Stan Lane, how can you say that they don't deserve an opportunity? You're talking about a team that 4 times have been World Tag Team Champions, the Rock and Roll.
Big deal.
Answer that. Nixon used to be president, not today. Let's talk about today, and let's talk about the $10,000 bounty, by the way,
that
Killer Kyle's about to collect right now, and I can guarantee you he's big enough, he's bad enough, and I guarantee you with the Midas touch that Jim Cornette seems to have on everybody he comes in contact with, Killer Kyle will collect $10,000 today. If he don't do it, I guarantee the Heavenly Bodies will.
What, you mean you're going to take it out of primetime Brian Lee's hide?
Why don't you turn your hearing aid up, Bob Caudle? You heard what he said. He's saying that if Killer Kyle didn't want to do it, then maybe we will.
Well, look at primetime Brian Lee, how high it is here. And look at that hip toss. He picks up the big man, 305 pounds. And
he blatantly grabbed his tights. I saw that.
Double drop kick. And Kyle goes out of the ring. Cornette's going to have a heart attack down there.
Wait a minute, Jimmy's getting really perturbed over there. He's yanking his jacket off.
You think he's going to get in there?
He can whoop primetime Brian Lee by himself. Let's stand.
Let me tell you, a lot of people underestimate the athletic prowess of Jim Cornette. Sure, he's one of the greatest managers of all time. But let me tell you something. When he gets mad, he has got a temper. And I'll say one thing. I wouldn't want to be in primetime Brian Lee's shoes if he ever ticked off Jim Cornette.
Absolutely. Did you hear that, Bob Caudle?
I heard that.
Mark that down.
There's just one other thing. During the training sessions that we've been having with Killer Kyle, we've noticed a difference in his attitude. We've noticed a difference that Jim's installed in him. Every time he's in the ring, he knows when to get out of trouble. He knows when to get somebody in trouble. So when $10,000 is on the line, and we all know how much Jimmy loves money, he's not going to take a chance on losing $10,000. And like I said, if he can't get it done, we will.
as they trade big, hard right hands. And again, neither man giving an inch. They stand toe-to-toe to slug it out with those big, powerful roundhouse right hands. Kyle now giving ground, pushed to the corner. And this is where primetime Brian Lee wants him, right back in that corner. All the way back in the row. He broke the cuff and the chain that holds that violin case, something that we've been wondering ever since he first started here at Smoky Mountain Wrestling, what the heck he carries in the violin
case. That just confirms one more time, like I said again, primetime Brian Lee's clumsy. You see that move, Dutch.
Clumsy and stupid.
But I think you have to give a little credit to us and Jim, too, by the fact that I think Kyle is wrestling in a different manner. He is wrestling more aggressive, and he knows a little more than he did just maybe a couple months ago before Jim Cornette came into his life, Dutch, wouldn't you say?
Now, Stan, you've heard of media bias. You've heard that.
Cornette!
Wouldn't you think that Bob Cornette...
What about that? Did you see that? Did you see
no,
that?
No, we didn't. Can't you see we're sitting here talking about important stuff, Bob Cornette?
We were talking, Bob, and you
oh, my heavens.
Listen, he's biased against Jimmy Cornette. He doesn't like him. He keeps mentioning the four-time, the Rock and Roll four-time world champion. He doesn't mention four times that Jimmy Cornette was manager of the year. He conveniently forgets that.
Dutch, you are so right. Bob Cornette is so prejudiced against Jim Cornette.
And you,
yes, I know. If you looked up in the dictionary the word prejudice, you'd see a picture of Bob Cornette right there.
Absolutely. Okay, we're watching right now Killer Kyle on his way to collecting $10,000. He is methodically taking apart Brian Lee.
All right, he's standing him hard to that turnbuckle, but it looks to me like he just got him excited. Where in the heck are the heavenly bodies going, Dutch?
Well,
they're walking
not.
Away. They're leaving this year.
They are not
walking
going.
Down toward the ring where Jim Cornette is.
Well, they're down at ringside now, the heavenly bodies and Cornette. They're all gathered around ringside down there. Wait a
he
minute.
He may have Kyle right where he wants him. He's got him up, and here come the heavenly bodies in the ring.
Well,
they're not supposed to be in a ring. What the heck are they doing?
Hey, $10,000 on the line, Bob Cornette, and it doesn't stipulate how you do it. Just put him out of wrestling.
Here is primetime Brian Lee down on the mat. The heavenly bodies, Killer Kyle, all three of them stomping and kicking away at him. Here come the Rock and Roll. Ricky Morton on Tom Pritchard. Robert Gibson and Stan Lane outside, and we got a Donnybrook going now outside the ring. Inside the ring, the bell had already sounded. Primetime Brian Lee.
Whoa!
Clothesline.
And then Cornette's in the ring now. Cornette's in the ring. Whoa!
And Cornette backed up just in the nick of time.
He picks him up.
Wait just
He's
a minute.
He's got him up.
What the heck
Wait
is this?
Who is that in the ring?
The Stalker, another Stalker. What the heck
it's
is
another,
this?
It's another Stalker.
This is about the fourth one we've had.
Well, we got a fight going on the floor with the Rock and Roll and the Heavenly
right,
Bodies.
Danny Davis. Everybody
and
goes
Brian
out of the
Lee.
Ring. The Stalker leaves. I don't know whoever the mastermind of the Stalkers is, but he's something. Fans, we got to get order restored, Dutch. Fans, we'll be back. Let's take time out right here.